Can you hear me? Okay. So we started talking about caching last week, and today we will learn more about how caches work. So we had this smaller cache in our processor, which sits in front of memory, and it gives the programs an illusion that we actually have a very large capacity of memory, also which we can access in a very short latency. But in reality, caches are small, so they are not as large as the memory, but they just acts in a way that most of the time the things that programs need to access from memory usually are in the cache, and that's due to this behavior called locality, which we talked about a bit last class. So there are basically two kinds of localities that the programs exhibit: temporal and spatial. We talked about that temporal locality comes from the fact that usually whatever we are accessing right now, it's highly likely that we will access that data again. And spatial locality comes from the fact that usually the data we are accessing in the program, we access the neighboring data in the near future. And it's like an inherent property usually the programs exhibit. So for example, we went through this example where we are iterating over an array, and eventually we want to calculate the mean. So first we calculate the sum and then divide it by the length to get the mean. And here, the data that we were accessing, for example, the values in the array, because we were going through the array sequentially, basically whatever value I have accessed, it's highly likely that I will access the subsequent indexes. So that's the spatial locality. We are accessing these variable total multiple times, that's temporal locality. And we also saw that there are some locality even in the code. So if I am within the loop and trying to execute this instruction, if I is less than length, it's highly likely that I will enter the loop, and that's kind of the spatial locality that adjacent instructions are being used over and over again. So that was the intuition behind why caches work. So today we want to take a look at actually how we can build a cache. So in the hardware, how should we design a cache? So here I have an example of memory and cache, and in the cache we bring some bytes of data. So there is this the smallest unit of data that we bring from the memory, and usually that is called a block. For example, in here the block size is 2 bytes. That means that whenever we are trying to bring something from memory, we will bring a 2-byte data chunk. And why is that? The reason is we want to exploit spatial locality. If I accessed this byte 0, it's highly likely that I will also access byte 1. Is it better? No. Yeah, I think the mic is not working, sorry. I will try to do that. It's not mute.
Okay. So it's not the problem it was before. Okay. Now it's weird. Oh. It thinks it's muted.
Here it's not.
Yeah.
But maybe something is.
It definitely thinks it's muted, so. Interesting. If it's un.
There we go. Restarting. Restarting solves most of the technical problems. So our cache block here is 2 bytes, which means that whenever we bring some data from memory, the amount of data we bring in is 2 bytes. And for that reason, we will also divide our memory into 2 bytes of chunk. So that's why byte 0 and 1, that's the first block, and then 2 and 3, and so on. And whenever we bring something from memory, it would be either address 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or so it would be consecutive 2 blocks. So now we have to decide that if we want to read something, so for example, we have the processor wants to access this address, and we want to read the data from the cache. So we want to make sure that how we can know if that address or that block that contains that data is in the cache or not. And we will try to build a very simple cache for that. So the cache that we are trying to build is called direct map cache, which means that if we have one address to look up in our cache, there is only one place that it can go. And there would be some specific bits in the address which will tell us where that block is in our cache. So for example, we have this 8-byte cache, and each block is 2 bytes, so basically we have 4 places where a cache block can reside. So that's the index, which says that what is the block that we are trying to find. So there is 00, 01, 10, 11. There are 4 addresses, like 4 places that a block can go. And it will be decided by some of the bits in our address. And in this example, these are the bits, the ones that are in red. So these 2 bits in our address would decide where should we look for that block in our cache. So for example, if this bit is 00, these 2 bits are 00, that means that the index for that address is 00, and we are supposed to find the block in the first index in our cache. So what direct map cache says that there is only one place in our cache that a block can reside. So for the next block, you can see that the index bits, those are 01, which means that if we want to find that block in the cache, or if we want to store that block in the cache, there is exactly one place, that's the second block in our cache. So that's the index, which is 01. That is the only place that we can find this address. And it's kind of consecutive. You can see that if the index bits are 1, 0, that would go to this third row. if it's 1-1, it would go to the fourth row. And then after that, it wraps around. So that's why, again, when we get a different address, but the index bits are the same as 0-0, that means that it can only go to the first row. Similarly, if we have 0-1 in our index bits, if we look at the addresses of our memory, we can see that there could be multiple blocks with the same index. And there is only one place in our cache where we can find that block or store that block. So basically, each color here is representing that the position in our cache, the row where the one memory block can go. So the green ones, they will always we will always find them, or we can store them in the first one, and so on. Any questions so far? Yes, sir.
When you so like if your architecture is like word addressed and like not byte addressed, would you not just ignore the bottommost bit? Would you also ignore as many bits are in like?
Yes. So if we try to address with words, things become more complicated. Okay. But we are trying to build a cache where the addresses are byte within byte granularity. And you can think about the trade-offs. Like, we could design a cache which is word addressable, then we need more, it adds more complexity. And you can think that it may provide benefit in cases where we don't need the whole byte or 2 bytes. Maybe we just need 1 word. So why bother bringing other things from memory? But again, think about the inherent property that caches are exploiting, which is locality. So we are just predicting that if I am accessing 1 word, it's highly likely that I will access the other things. So that's why we try to bring a chunk of data from memory instead of just 1 byte or maybe 1 integer or 1 float, right? Any more questions? So we were trying to see that given an address which is 01011, where is our within the cache, where should we look up that address? And given this direct map cache where the bit 1 and 2 decides the index of the cache, we can look up this address, and it says 01, the index bits are 01, which means that it is supposed to be in this second row. So now if I have my cache, I can look up this row, and I will find that there are some zeros there. And at that point, you actually don't know if a memory contains 00 there, or it's just initialized as 00, or are these some garbage bits which is sitting in my cache. So, but here you can see that in my memory, the value is not 0. There is some other data in my memory which is supposed to be in the cache. But we just don't have enough information to say that if that's the value that I'm trying to fetch, or that something may be fetched before, or it's just some garbage value. So that's why we need some metadata in our caches to keep some extra information, which gives us information about if that entry in the cache is valid or not. So the first extra information we need is 1-bit value, which says that if that row in the cache contains a valid block or not. So here now, if we went to like our index is 01, so we directly go to our row 1 and find that the valid bit is 1. So in that case, we know that whatever data we have in the cache, that's the value we are trying to look up in our cache, and we fetch it and provide it to our processor. But there could be some problem with that method too. So for example, we say that whenever the index bit would be 0, 1, that means that the addresses in our memory, those addresses all could reside in this first row. And there could be multiple blocks in memory that could fit in this one specific entry. So if I just have the address and then look at the valid bit, I read out some value from my cache, but I exactly don't know if it's coming from this address or the one here. I guess, is this the 0? Okay, yes. Or the one here, which also has the index bit 0, 1. So we need some more information to differentiate between these two blocks. And that is the information that we call tag. Basically, what we try to do is, after we figure out what are the index bits, some of the portion of the address, which are at the higher order bits in the address, we keep that information in the tag. And when we are trying to look up a cache block, we get the address, we look at the valid bit. If it's valid, then actually we access the tag bits and try to see if they match with whatever address we have in hand. So here, if I am trying to look up for the address 01010, these two higher order bits, 01, those are my tag bits. And we will store them with the valid bit and see that if that's a match. So here, when we access the cache, we see that it is actually a match, which means that the block that we are trying to look up is actually hitting in the cache, so we have that one. Any questions so far? Yes.
How do you know if the data is stale? You know if it's valid, but like, what if like it's been modified?
That's a very good question, which we will learn later. So we actually need more information to keep track if the data has been modified or not. Any more questions? Okay. So this is at the high level how the caches will look like. We will have this array which contains the data, and we will also have some extra information, for example, valid bits, valid bit, tag bits, and maybe some other information which we will learn later. And the cache will take an address as an input. So we will look at the address and we will figure out what are the index bits within that address. So I haven't talked about how we figure out which bits actually say our index bits. We will see that later, but for now, let's just assume that these three bits in the middle, it says that these are our index bits. And why we have three bits? Because we have eight entries here, eight rows. So we actually need three bits to index eight entries. So when we try to look up our cache, we take the index bits from the address, and we go to the entry that belongs to that index. After that, we actually have to look up the valid bit and see if the entry is valid or not. If the entry is not valid, that address that we are trying to look up, it's not in the cache. But if it's valid, then the next step is we have to look at the tag bits. So we have to get these tag bits from the cache and take the tag bits from our address and try to see if they are matching or not. And if they match, then we actually say that, it is a hit. And we will take, we will read the data from our cache. But then in this example, there are 4 bytes within our cache. So now we need the first few bits to figure out within these 4 bytes, which byte we want to read out. So you can see that because we have 4 bytes, we need 2 bits in our address, and we call these bits as offset. So the first 2 bits here are the offset bits, and they say that we actually want to read out the third byte, which is B6. So basically, we need some comparator to compare the valid bit and the tag bit. And if the valid bit is 1, and also there is a tag match, then we read out data within this box using the offset. Any question here? No? Okay. So far I just said that, okay, there are some bits which will say what's the index, some bits which will say what's the offset, and some bits will be our tag. But we actually need to figure out that how many bits we will use for each of these things. And that depends on the organization of our cache. So for example, we can have a cache where each block has 2 bytes, for example this one, and there can be 4 sets. So sets is the number of rows here. So it will say that how many bits we need for the index. Also, we could have a cache where we have 2 bytes of block again, but we have 8 sets. So that's here. Or we could organize it very differently, where we increase the number of bytes within the block. So here, instead of 2 bytes, we have 4 bytes in each block. But then we actually have a smaller number of sets, so we just have 2 sets. And we, with any cache configuration, the first thing we need to figure out is how many bits we will use for index, offset, and tag. So how we can do that? So the first thing is we want to figure out that how many bits we will use for our block offset. So that's what says that within the block, which byte we will read out. So here, the first one, the first and second one, it says that our block size is 2 bytes, which basically means that we need 1 bit to decide if it's the byte 0 or byte 1. So that's why we just need 1 bit. 1 bit will go to our block offset. But for this one, where we had 4 bytes within a block, that basically means that we need 2 bits to say that what is our offset. So it could be either 0, 1, 2, 3, and we need 2 bits to represent 0 to 3. So after we have figured out what's the offset, the next thing we want to know is which bits correspond to our index. And that basically comes from what's the number of sets we have in our cache. So if we have 4 sets, that means that we need 2 bits to represent it. If we have 8 sets, then we need 3 bits to represent what's our index. And here we have 2 sets, so we need just 1 bit. So for the offsets, that's the first few bits we will take from the least order bits. The next number of bits will go to our index. So you can see for depending on the number of sets, it's here 2 because we have 4 sets. Here, for this one, we have 8 sets, so we need 3 bits. And for the third one, we need just 1 bit because there are just 2 sets. And now the third thing we need to figure out is how many bits we will use for the tag. And that's actually quite easy after we have figured out index and offset. Basically, whatever is left in our address, all the higher order bits which are left will go to our tag. So the rule is, first we will figure out how many bits we need for offset. That comes from the size of the block. Then we need to figure out the number of bits in index. That comes from the number of sets. And whatever is left goes to tag. So you can figure out how many bits you need from looking at those the cache configuration. But you can also use these equations to figure it out. Basically, they're saying the same thing. So here, if we have S number of sets and it corresponds to 2 to the power S, that means that that is the small letter S that corresponds to index bits. Similar for block offset, which comes from the block size, and whatever left is the tag bits. But here there is another equation which says what is the size of our cache, and you can see that it's basically block size multiplied by the number of sets. And this is the equation we will use if the block is direct mapped. So we will learn about some different kind of caches later, but this is the equation which we will use for direct map cache. And you can see that basically, let's go here, it gives the size of this portion, the amount of data we hold in our cache. So anything that we need some space for keeping the valid read, the tags, or some extra information. That is not part of this equation. So when we say that what is the size of our cache, basically, that's the size of the data. Yes.
I think your microphone turned off. It's kind
of. What about now? No. Hello. Might not be working. I guess I will just try to talk louder. So, okay. I guess you have something.
So, does this mean that the cache size is always at least as large as the block size?
If you have just one set, yes. So it's a multiple of block size,
yes.
But depends on how many sets you have. If you have just, if the S here is just one, if you have one set, then it's the size of the block.
Okay.
But if you have two sets, then it's the twice the size of the block size.
So that denotes the number of blocks that a single cache can reference, or because like I thought like the sets were like how the size of your cache, but like
yes, the sets are size of the cache in terms of number of sets, but within one set you have a block which can contain multiple bytes.
Yes.
So that's why we have to multiply it by the size of the byte. Yes.
So yeah, on that question, so yes, the cache size is given in bytes. That's a unit.
Yes.
Word.
Yes. So here it is given in bytes. Yes. I guess, yes, that is a very good point. It is in bytes. Any more questions? Okay. So now let's do an example that given a cache, if we have a sequence of addresses, how should we look up our cache and how should we fill our cache? So here we have a set which has, we have a cache which has four sets. So that means that we need two bits to represent the indexes, 0, 1, 2, 3. And then within one set, each block can hold two bytes, which basically means that we need one bit to represent the block offset. So within the byte, within the block, what is the byte we are trying to look? So given these information, you can divide the address bits into offset, index, and tag, or you can just plug them in the equation and try to figure out what are the index, offset, and tags are. But basically, as I said, because we have four, okay, I guess let's start with the offset. So because the block size is two, we need one bit. Because we have four sets, we need two bits for index. And rest of the bits, because our address is 8 bits, and we use 3 bits for offset and index, the rest, the 5 higher order bits will go to tag. So this is how we will divide our address. First bit, block offset, the next two, index, and rest of them are tag. So now we want to go through each address and try to see if they're in the cache or not. The first one, we will look up the index bits, which say 00. So basically that means that we are supposed to look up the first row. And we see that the valid bit is 0. That means that this block that we are trying to look up, it's not in the cache, it's a miss. So what we have to do now, we actually have to go to memory and read that address from memory. And what do you think we should do after that? Like, should we put it in our cache or should we just ignore it and go to the next address? Like, what's your intuition? Yeah, definitely we should put it in the cache because there is nothing in the cache, it's empty. And also we may have some future references to the same block which we want to exploit. So that's why what we will do is we will put that value in our cache, and we also have to set up the tag bits. So here the tag bits contain all zeros, so we properly set up the tag bits. Now we go to the next reference. Again, we will look up the index bits, and basically it says 0 again. We come to our first set. We see that this is a valid block. So then what we have to do is we will have to match the tags. And what we find out that they match, both of them are, they contain all zeros. So that means that now we have hit the cache, but what the block offset says that in the first axis, we were accessing the first byte, but here we are accessing the second byte. But because we exploited the spatial locality and brought in two bytes, now we have avoided going to memory once more, and we have gained one hit in cache. So we go to the next address. In the next address, we look up the index bits, and it says 0, 1. And that means that we are supposed to look at row 2. And we find that the valid bit is 0. That means that this address is not present in the cache, so it is a cache miss. And whenever we have a cache miss, we will go to the memory, fetch the block, put the block here, and we also will set up the tag bits. So we take 0110 from here and put it in our tag. The next reference, what we see that it has 00 in our index bits. So that means that we come in the first row again, and it's a valid block, so we have to compare the tags. And what we find that the tags don't match. So before, all the tag contained all zeros, but now there is some other value there. So that means that, again, whatever block we are trying to fetch, it's not in the cache. And now we bring in the block back, and we, because in our cache, we just have one specific place to put that block, we have to get rid of this block, whatever was there before, and we put the recent one there. And what's the intuition? The intuition is the locality. Whatever we have accessed right now, it's highly likely that we will access it again in the future. So the recent ones, we are giving them more priority than the ones that we brought earlier. So that's why we just evict the first block that we had, and we put there our new block. And again, you can see that we have to put the tag bits appropriately. Then the next access, you can see that the index bit is 0, 1. So that means that it's the second row, and the tags also match. So in that case, we actually have a hit in the cache, so we don't have to go to memory again. The next access here, the index bits are 0, which means that we go to the first row. We see that it's a valid block, so we have to match the tag. And you can see that we brought something before in the cache, and the tag is not all 0. So again, we will fetch this recent block and replace the prior block that we have with this recent data. And again, the intuition is whatever is recent, we are giving it more priority and trying to keep them in cache. Next one is also similar. So we look up the index bits. It's 1, 0, which corresponds to the third row, and it was invalid, so there was nothing in that set. So we fetch the block and put the block in our cache. So basically what we're trying to see here is in the cache, we have one specific location where one block can reside, and we have to determine it by looking at our index bits. And sometimes it can happen that whatever blocks we are accessing, they all are being mapped into the exact same location. So for example here, the block, this one, which is all 00 address, and the one here, which has some other tag, but still the index bits are all zero, they're kind of competing for the same location in the cache. And because we have just one space to put the, these blocks in the cache, they are in a conflict. So this is a miss which are getting caused due to conflict in the addresses. But we will talk about it more later. But first, I guess let's do an example. So here, it's kind of similar, but not exactly the same, right? So we have addresses, and we have four sets. But there is a difference that here we are keeping four bytes in each block. Before it was two bytes. So what you have to figure out first is, given one address, how you would divide your address into offset, index, and tags. I guess you can plug them in the equation, or you can try to figure it out by looking at the number of sets, number of bytes in the offset. So who can tell me how many bits? Yes.
I think 4 bytes for the tag, uh-huh. 2 for the index, 2 for the byte offset.
Yes, and rest of them will go to our tag. So now that we have figured out how to divide the address into offset, index, and tag, now what we want to do is go through each address and try to figure out if they would be hit or miss. So again, you can start by looking at the index bits and then filling up the cache. You can talk to your you can talk to other students and try to figure out eventually how many hits we will have. I guess that's the thing we are trying to figure out. Like the values, just assume that it's okay. Like memory location 0, 1, 2,
okay.
3, like.
Okay. about the index.
For the first axis?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's true because it's, there is nothing in the cache, so it definitely it's a miss, but what we how we figure it out, we looked at the index bits, which says that lookup at the first row, and we find that it's not valid, so we fetch the block, and we put 4 bytes in the first set. Now for the second one, is it hit or miss? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, but the reason is, again, we first take the index bits, which says that the block is supposed to be at the first set. So it's valid, so there is a block here, and we match the tag bits, and we decide that whatever address we are trying to look up, it's in the cache. So that's a hit. What about the next one? Yes.
Miss.
Yes. So again, the index bits are all zero here, so it maps to the first entry again. But now the tags don't match. So that's why now we fetch the block from memory and put it in our cache and set up the appropriate tag bits. What about the next one? Yes.
Hit.
Yes. And the reason is we look up the index bits, and it's the first entry, and also the valid bit is 1, the tags match, so definitely it's the same block that we fetched earlier. What about the next one? Yes.
Hit.
Yes. So the reason is similar again. We take the index bits, we go to the first entry, the tags match. Basically, we're just trying to look up another bytes within these 4 bytes. So the spatial locality is helping us here. So what about the next one? Yes. Yes, and the reason is we are trying to fetch this index 0 with tag all zeros, which was not here. So there was some different block here. So we fetch it, and now we have another block in our first set. What about the last one?
Yes.
Yes. So for this one, the index bit is 01, so that means that it maps to the second set, and it was invalid before, so we just bring in another block. Yes.
If you FE out a block without replacing the values, does that reset the valid bit?
So if it was already valid and we replace it, it doesn't reset it, so because it's already valid, it's kind of, instead of resetting and setting it again, you can just, if it's already one, don't do anything.
How do you know which values to put there? Like, which
for bytes. So this corresponds to what's the size of our block. In this example, our blocks can contain 4 bytes, and it will be the 4-byte chunk in our memory from 0 to whatever. So from 0 to 3, it's the first chunk, 3 to 7, it's the second chunk. And so for example, the address says that which chunk we are bringing in. So if the index bit here, let's take the first one. So index bits is all 0, and basically that means that whatever, so we won't look at what byte, what we have in the offset. So if it could be 00, 01, 10, or 11. So we have 4 options, right? And it doesn't matter what is the address within the offset, we will just bring that 4 bytes in and put it here. So that's the granularity of this cache, is it's all, it will be always multiple of 4 bytes. So if the cache could hold 8 bytes of block, then the granularity would be always multiple of 8. Any more questions? Yes.
How did you use the bit offset though to know, like, for 63, the bit offset's 11, so wouldn't that tell you that 63 is going to be the last thing in that block?
Yes. So after we have fetched the block, so for example, let's take this one, which is a hit, the second one. That means that it's hit means that the block is already there, but in order to get the data from cache to memory, we still need the offset. The offset will tell us within the cache block exactly which byte we need to fetch from the data array and send it to our processor. So that's why we need these offset bits. Any more questions? So here you can, if you try to think about what are the things that is going to our first set, there were multiple blocks which were competing for the first set. And we saw that in our prior example also, that there were multiple blocks, they just get mapped to one specific entry, and if we are accessing those blocks, it means that they all are competing for specific one position in our cache. And this is happening because the way we designed our cache is we said that it's a direct map cache. One specific address can always go into one specific location in our cache. But we could solve that problem, solve the problem of these conflict misses when multiple blocks are competing for the same space in the cache, by having more columns. So for example, before this was our cache and we had 2 sets. Within a set, there was just 1 space for 1 block to reside. We could just say that we will duplicate it. So within 1 set, now we have 2 slots where we can put cache blocks. And that means that we not only duplicate the data values, we also need some metadata, for example, tags and valid bits. So now this cache is not direct mapped anymore. We call it associative cache, which basically says that within a set, instead of just having one place, now we have multiple places to put some values with the same index. So for index 0, before there were just one place that one address could go, but now we could place two things at the same time. So here the column is still called a set, but the difference between direct map is instead of one block, now it can hold two blocks. And we call those each column as ways. So within one set, now we have two ways. Basically what says that we could put two blocks in one cache set. You could think about having four-way associated cache. That will just mean that instead of way 0 and 1, we will have way 2 and 3. So there would be four ways. And it reduces the conflict ways because now we have multiple positions to put blocks which had the same set index. Any question here? Yes.
Does this mean that like if you have an index bit mm-hmm. and you look into a single way, do you mm-hmm. have to like linearly scan through the whole way, or is there?
That's a good question. So how do we look up if the cache has multiple ways within a set? So I guess before we get into that, okay. So the question to answer that. So before when we are looking up, there was just one block and we will just look at the tag, right? But now what we have to do is we have to match both tags and try to figure out which one matches. So it's usually it's not done sequentially, so we will have parallel logic to compare both of them to save time. But we will get to that in a bit. So before how we look up the associative cache, we need to know how to index and offset the addresses. And here, actually, things don't change much. So the only thing changes is we have one extra way within each set. But that is not something we calculate with the address. So with the address, when we're trying to figure out what's the block offset and index, it's kind of the same again, still. So we try to look at how many bytes we have in our block that decides the number of bits in the offset, and number of sets says that how many bits we need for our index. So what is different? The difference is when we are trying to look up a cache block, instead of doing one comparison with the tag, now we have to do multiple ones. I guess let's just go through an example so that it is more clear. So here we have a two-way set associative cache, and there are two sets, set 0 and 1. And the block size is 2 bytes, which means that we just need one bit in our block offset. We have two sets, that means that we need just one bit in our index. So that's why we have one bit for offset, one bit for index, rest of them are tags. So the first one, the index bit says that it should go into set 0. And it was all empty before, so we just basically put it in our way 0. The next one, it is actually the same block with a different byte address, so it's a hit. But I guess let's go to the third one. The third one says that we are supposed to look up way set 1. And basically, it was empty before. It was not valid, so we put the block there. For the fourth access, we have index 0. So that means that it should be somewhere in this row. and we actually look up the tag, and it does not match with the valid tag that we have here. So we have to fetch that block from memory. So before, when we didn't have this associativity, what we had done was we would just replace this block with this new block. But now, because we have more space, we have one extra way. Instead of replacing this block, now we put it in our way one. So basically now, if we access this block again, instead of a miss, now we will have one extra hit. And basically that's what we are showing with the next address, which accesses the same block. And I guess the rest of R is kind of the same. It accesses this one, and for this one, now if we look at the index bit, it's zero, so means that it is supposed to be somewhere here. We take the tag, and what we see that the tag doesn't match to any of those. So now we go to the same methodology again. So now that both of the places that we had in our set is filled up, now we actually have to replace one. And there is a decision now that which one we want to replace. And there are different kind of policies that we use. We will talk about it later. But for now, let's just assume that there is some policy which says that we want to replace the way zero or way one. So basically, at the high level, this is how our set associative cache would look like. So we have two ways. So when we get our address, we look up the index bits. For example, here it's 100. So that's the entry. And we will read out the whole row. And we will try to match the tag with both of the values here, both of the tag values here. And if any of them is a match and the block is still valid, then it will say that it's a hit. So here you can see that there is a comparison with the tag, and also the valid bit has to be one. So it has to match either from this way or the second way. And if any of them is a match, that means that we have a cache hit. So that's why we have an R here. And if we have a cache hit, now we need to read the appropriate byte within the block. So that's for that one, we need the offset, which says that because it has two bytes, we can either read out the first byte or second byte based on the block offset. Any question? So associative cache, it reduces the conflict cache, but you can see that there is some added complexity. One question here? No. Yes.
So I think it's the second hit.
Second hit, this one, okay.
The second one.
Mm-hmm.
62.
This one.
Wait, so why is that a hit? So the index is 1.
Yes.
So wait, wouldn't it look in the block?
It will look at here.
Mm-hmm. But the offset is?
And it will try to match the tag.
Okay.
And you can see that the tag is 01100, which matches with this one.
Oh.
So this is the one that we just brought one axis already.
So you always, when you bring in values, you always bring a pair, you don't bring in whatever is there at the next thing?
No, so the granularity is always, it's a multiple of the block size. So if it's a 2-byte block, it would be always 0, 1 or 2, 3. So it would be never 1 and 2. And the reason is we try to make things simpler in the hardware. So you could think about some ways to make that work, but it would add some more complexity because sometimes you will bring 0-1, sometimes you will bring 1-0. To avoid that, we try to make things very simple in the cache, so it would be always the multiple of the cache boxes. Any more questions? Okay. I guess I already showed this. So for this example, the set bit is one, the index bits are 100, which match, which indexes this particular row, and the tag matches to the first way. That's why here the comparator and the AND gate says that, okay, the valid bit is on and the tag matches, so the output goes to here to the mux. And that mux selects that which byte within these two bytes we want to read. And that's the second one because the offset is one, so at the end we get V5. Yes?
Is there ways of running in parallel? How can we just keep adding more?
We can keep adding more. So here the way associativity is two. But you can have four-way set associative, eight-way set associative. And what's the benefit? The benefit is you're reducing the conflict. But what's the disadvantage? The disadvantage is you need to, like, whenever we are trying to match the tag, we are reading all the data with all the ways. So we have to read more, and we need to have more logic to decide which one we want to match. So we will, I guess we will talk about the trade-offs more in the next class. In recent processors, usually L1 is two-way set associative.
It's usually more.
2 to 4.
8.
L1?
Yeah.
Really?
Because of virtual memory. Because everyone's doing virtually indexed, physically tagged.
So they're just trying to...
So they're increasing the sensitivity to get away with it.
So,
so you look at all the recent Intel and AMD processors. Mm-hmm. I don't know about other manufacturers. It doesn't make sense from the trade-offs we'll talk about if you don't think about that issue.
So for L3, you will see that the number of associativity is 16, 32 sometimes. So that's much larger than usually L1. But I guess we will get to why L1 could have more associativity when we talk about virtual memory.
Are there not better strategies than just K-associative caches? Is there an equivalent to a hash function that's run in hardware where...
Yes. So you're getting into good things. Yes. So some of the recent processors, what's the goal of more associativity? We are trying to avoid conflict. We could avoid the conflict if we somehow hash the addresses so that they can get into different ways. And that is something recent processors do. We won't talk about that in this class, but you can take the grad course. So definitely that's something we do. So for the set associative lookup, what are the possibilities? The possibilities are none of the blocks for the index are valid, so which means that the cache is empty. Or none of the valid tag matches with the address that we are trying to look up. So that means that all the ways are already filled up with something else and we have to replace it. Or the other possibility is one of the tags would match, and that is the one we are trying to look up. So there, now we have three possibilities. With direct map, there was only one possibility. So the difference between the direct map and associative is with direct map, we only had one place where each block could be, we could place. And if we have associativity, that means that we have multiple ways to put the block in. And if there are E ways, that means that within each set, now we have E slots where we can put a cache block. So those are two mostly used caches. But you can think about what about we just go to the other extreme. Like it's fully associative, which means that there is just one set and everything is within that one set. So think about how you will look up and in that case. So if there is one set, you don't need any bit for index because there is just one set. So all the bits go to our tag after the offset bits. And that means that we need to do a lot of more comparisons and reads to implement this one. So that's why usually we have either direct map cache, mostly we have set associative cache, but there are cases where we use fully associative, but mostly not in caches. So if there is some other small structure in the cache, we need something to store, maybe that's the time we use fully associative cache. But usually if the size is smaller. So given that we have a set associative cache, now how we would look up one address and divide it into offset, index, and text. And what you can see that this is mostly the same with direct mapped with one difference here. The difference is how we are calculating the cache size in byte. So before it was the number of sets multiplied by the number of block size. But because we are duplicating all the blocks within one column, so we have multiple ways, now we have to multiply this thing with the associativity. So that's why now it becomes block size multiplied by number of sets multiplied by associativity. Any question here? And again, we are excluding metadata. So this is the size of only the data values that we are keeping, tag bits, valid bits. That's not part of the cache size. So I guess I won't do this example today. This is all for today. Let's discuss this in the next class. Thank you.